Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. How early should parents start conversations about sex and sexuality with their kids? And how can they do it from a biblical perspective? Today, our guest, Elizabeth Urbanowitz, joins us to share insights from her new resource, The Talk, Made Easy, is designed to guide Christian parents through these vital discussions with young children. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this interview entitled The Talk Made Easy, and you'll find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into the conclusion of this incredible interview.
And then we can talk with our kids about, you know, sometimes our feelings on the inside are really, really strong. And sometimes our feelings point us towards what is true. And you can give, you know, your kids an example of when their feelings pointed them towards what is true. You know, like when your brother was crying yesterday and you felt really sorry for him and you went over and you comforted him, that feeling was pointing you towards what was true. Then give them an example of a time when a feeling didn't point them towards what is true. You know, remember the other day when your brother took your truck without asking and your feeling of anger led you to go and push him down the stairs? That feeling did not lead you to what was true, because what was true is, you know, you should have told him that was wrong and asked for your truck back, but not pushed him down the stairs. Then say, you know, sometimes people's feelings inside trick them about whether they're a boy or a girl. Like sometimes a girl's body might reveal that she's a girl. That's how God designed her. But on the inside, she might feel like she's a boy. And so she decides that the truth is that she's a boy. But what is the truth? Right. The truth is God designed her as an image bearer who is female, and her body reveals that. So just having these basic conversations, you know, and then having a basic conversation about marriage. You know, marriage is one man and one woman becoming one flesh for life. And then talk about, okay, so how did God design marriage? It's one what? That's right. One man and one what? One woman, right? And we learned that it takes a man's body and a woman's body to become one flesh. And it's only with a man's body and a woman's body that a family can be started, you know, that there can be children. And then talk about, well, sometimes, you know what, our feelings trick us in marriage as well. Sometimes two men decide that they feel like they want to get married, or two women feel like they want to get married. But does that go along with God's design for marriage? No, it doesn't. So just giving them a basic understanding of what these things are, so that then if our children encounter them, you know, whether it's they're in a public school and they're exposed to this through a book, or whether it's like we just went to the library with our kids and they pull a book off the shelf and come, you know, give it to us to go check out. And we're like, oh my goodness, you know, I see exactly what this book is. So that way, if we can have these conversations with our kids first, then when they encounter these things in books, they're already prepared with a biblical framework through which to filter these ideas.
Yeah, boys seem to develop interest in girls about, I think, fifth to sixth grade. Or do you find that earlier? I find it right about there.
Usually, I think with typically developing boys, they usually did start to develop an interest sometime between like fifth and seventh grade. Every once in a while, you'll have an outlier. You know, you might have like a second grade boy who develops crushes on girls. But yes, that's usually an accurate age.
Yeah, well, when do, you know, because I mostly worked with boys, coaching and all that, but when do girls begin to develop an interest in boys, and their attraction is a bit different than how boys see the opposite sex? Tell us a little bit how that develops in girls.
Yeah, with girls, it's a little bit different, since a boy's attraction is usually mostly based on sexual developments. It's usually being able to pinpoint to a more specific year when puberty starts. Where for girls, it's a little bit different. Some girls don't develop, like usually when it's a young female, the attraction is mostly emotional rather than physical. And so it really depends. You know, some girls don't develop an interest in boys until that same, you know, fifth, sixth grade timeline, where some girls, you know, as young as preschool, you know, start to develop crushes on boys. So that's why, again, I think having these foundational conversations early are so important because if a parent, you know, if a mom or a dad sees a girl, you know, starting to develop interest in boys, you know, at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they can have a conversation about how these feelings are a good thing because these feelings will hopefully one day lead you to get married and have a family of your own. So we can thank God for these feelings. But are you anywhere close to an age where you can consider getting married? You know, if the girl is in like second grade, it's like, no, you know, you're very far away from that. So right now, we're just going to thank God for this person and we're going to focus on being friends with them right now and treating them as a fellow image bearer rather than focus on any feelings of romantic attachment. So that way, you're affirming that there's inherent goodness at the base of these feelings, and that Lord willing, that will lead your daughter, you know, one day to get married and have children. You know, not suppressing that, but you're also helping put it in its proper place that you're not encouraging, you know, the continuing development of these crushes, but encouraging healthy friendships and treating others as image bearers of God.
Yeah, few churches address these issues with children. Do you feel it's appropriate at church? And if so, how should a children's ministry go about addressing this kind of issue?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that in general, the church should be talking about sexuality because it's a part of how God has designed us in his image. It's talked about all throughout scripture. You know, you can barely get through a book of the Bible that doesn't have something to do with gender or sexuality. So I think that the church at large should be talking about this from a biblical perspective. For anyone who's listening, who's involved in children's ministry, I think that your main role is to help equip the parents. Because with this topic of sexuality, a lot of times what churches do is they think like, okay, how can we talk to the kids about it? And again, the church should be a place where we are talking about these things and where it's safe to bring questions, you know, concerns, all of these kind of things. But when we're talking about children, it really isn't the job of a kids ministry volunteer or a kids ministry worker or director or children's pastor to be having these conversations with children. But instead, for these men and women to be equipping the parents with the tools and resources and skills that they need to have these conversations at home, especially since hopefully the parent is spending much, much more time with the child when these conversations are going to naturally come up, you know, because at best, you know, at best, a children's ministry volunteer or director is going to be spending 2, maybe 3 hours a week with a child, where parents, hopefully, you know, outside of the school hours, are spending the majority of that time with their children. So they're going to have a much more thorough opportunity to disciple their children. And biblically, God has given that primary responsibility to the parents.
Yeah, I think that's great how you say we need to equip the parents because a lot of our, when I was in youth ministry, a lot of the teens weren't from Christian homes, and a lot of times I had to address the issue. And a lot of times the parents would come and kind of grab me on the side and, they would say, "Thanks for having that talk with my boy," or something, and these weren't parents who are Christians or anything. Some of them would grab me and say, "Next time, could you let me know you're talking about this? But thanks a lot for talking about this." I have other parents say, "You think that's realistic, abstaining before marriage kind of thing?" So I think it's incredibly valuable. We have a lot of children that parents don't attend church. And to be able to talk it over with those parents first, I think is extremely valuable. Yeah, and that's where I think your curriculum here, the talk made easy, is going to be really valuable, not just for parents, but for anyone working, with children. And so, how does the curriculum work? I mean, how does it equip parents to address what can be, an uncomfortable kind of conversation?
Yes. So all throughout, our conversation, Patrick, I've tried to say, to parents, like, this doesn't have to be a stressful thing. I know it might be, fearful, but it can be okay. Where I know that no matter how many times I say that, parents might still feel a certain amount of like, but Elizabeth, like, I don't know how to word this. I don't know how to say this well. And so the reason that we designed this series, it's a very, very short series. It's three videos that are all 10 minutes or under. And the goal is that either a parent will watch these videos and, just kind of get almost like a script to talk with their child, or the videos were also filmed in a way that you can play them with your child. Like, sit down, in front of the screen, watch the video with your child, and then at the end of each video, it instructs the child, like saying, your parents love God and they love you. So if you have any more questions about this, you can ask your parents, so directing the child to the parent. And so the goal of this series is just so that we can take any awkwardness out of this process for the parents. Just knowing that a lot of times the most difficult step to take on a journey is the first one, just getting started. So the three videos cover the exact same things I already covered in this. There's one video on the basics of male and female anatomy, one video on the basics of sexual intercourse, and one video on the basics of reproduction. And so we're just saying, let us come, take you by the hand, sit down, in front of the screen with your child. We'll walk through the uncomfortable parts first, like I'll say them first, and then you can have follow-up conversations with your child. So the goal of this series is really just to equip parents with a really simple tool to be able to have these three basic starting conversations with their children at some point between the ages of 4 and 7 or 8.
Yeah, this curriculum is designed to help parents and children understand sexuality through the lens of a biblical worldview. You know, how does it do that?
Yes. So in each of the videos, we read different passages of scripture. They're short, because we know we're working with children who are between 4 and 7. But in that first video that talks about, the difference between male and female anatomy, we read through Genesis 1:27 and talk about how God has designed us as male or female and how this is such a good thing. Then in the second video, we walk through, I'm forgetting the reference. I think it might be Genesis, it's Genesis 2 something. It's the very last verse in Genesis 2, that says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And we talk about how God has given the gift of sex as the sign and seal of the marriage covenant. We don't use the word covenant in that, we say the marriage promise because that's a simpler word for kids 4 through 7. And then in the third video on reproduction, we go through the verses in Psalm 139 that talk about, for you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we talk about how babies are a gift from God, that God has designed each child while he or she is growing in their mother's womb. And so we just want kids to have an understanding that these gifts, that gender, sexuality, reproduction, that they are grounded in a biblical view of the world, that these are all things that God has designed, that they're not accidental, but that they show design.
Yes, and this series is called The Talk, but actually, as you stated, this is not, we go through this once and whoo, got it in. What you're saying is this ought to lead to many talks down the road. Isn't that what you're hoping?
Yes. And that is what we say. We have a little introductory video for parents, and we say, these are just the first of many talks. And a lot of times it's just, initially saying these things that's really uncomfortable with our kids. So if we can get through that and have these initial conversations, then it can just become an ongoing conversation so that when children hear something, whether it's on the baseball team or at school or, in the church foyer or on a show, they can come and they naturally know, oh, mom and dad, are good people to go talk with this about because we have already had these conversations. And so, yes, it should be an ongoing conversation. Obviously, we recommend that the top age for this series is 7 or 8 because, when your child is 10, you're not going to be wanting to talk about what's your favorite toy, like, and talking about special body parts like toys. Like, that is way too babyish, for a 10-year-old. So these conversations are going to grow as our children grow, but they're going to lay the biblical foundation to continue to have such conversations throughout our children's growing up years.
Yeah, so this is age appropriate. You're saying about 4 to 7 years old. I'm wondering about the parent out there who's listening to the show saying, whoops, my kid's 12 here. I haven't had the talk with them. What do I do now? How do I bring this thing up? Maybe late to the game here. What words of insight do you have for them?
Yeah, so for parents who haven't had the initial sex talks with your child and your child is over the age of 8, I recommend starting off the conversation just by saying, "Hey, I want to talk with you about part of God's design for us as humans that's called sex." And rather than explaining it to them in the initial conversation, what I recommend that you do is say, "Have you heard this word before? And then if so, what have you heard?" And so just ask some questions for the goal of learning, because unless you are like completely off the grid, which I don't think you are because you're listening to this radio program right now, it's highly unlikely that a child 10 or over will never have heard of the concept of sex before. So you're just going to want to learn, what have they heard? What information or misinformation do they have? And then I recommend, rather than jumping in right away, either like with your shock or with like, "Oh, that is not at all true what you heard," just thank your child for being open with you, because this initial conversation is really going to set the stage for all future conversations. So rather than jumping in with, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe, your cousin told you that. That is not true at all," just, say, "Thank you. I'm so grateful that you were willing to share this with me. Now that we've talked through some of what you know, let's talk through what God's word has to say about this, and let's talk through the biology of this." So then with older kids, you can still take them, to that verse in Genesis 2, talking about a man and woman in marriage becoming one flesh, and saying, in the covenant of marriage, the symbol that seals the marriage covenant is this act called sex. And then explain what sex is, or, if they have already heard about this and they've already explained that, you can say, "I know that you already know what sex is. And here in God's word, it's showing us that sex isn't just this act that any two people do. It's supposed to be the sign and the seal of the marriage covenant." So just have that basic conversation. Ask them if they have any questions. At older ages, they probably won't initially, because they're going to be feeling awkward as well having this conversation with you. But you've at least, cleared the air and cleared up, some misconceptions that your child might have had. And then I recommend, don't make it this one huge sit-down conversation where you're like, "Whew, glad that's done. Never have to talk about it again," because there are so many other conversations, for us to have with our children. But just make it, a short thing. You ask questions, thank them for sharing, share the basics, and then a few weeks later, circle back and say, "Hey, it was about 2 weeks ago now that we first had a conversation about sex. I just want to talk about it again. Like, can you remember when we looked at scripture from God's word? What did that tell us about sex?" And then just review that sex is the sign and the seal of the marriage covenant. And then say, "I know that there's so much in our world that talks about sex, and even jokes about sex. Are there any questions that you have for me? Or is it, like, is there anything that I can answer for you?" Because again, we're wanting to create this relationship of trust so that our children come to us, not to a friend or another peer or another adult or Google. We want them to come to us with their questions. So that would be my recommendation for parents of children who are in the older age range who haven't yet had an initial conversation about sex.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point. You title this the talk, not the lecture. And yeah, a lot of parents, want to sit down and say, we're going to have the talk. And they kind of lecture their kids on this. And you're making it clear you want it to be a discussion back and forth. And you want to hear what the child has to say. That's I think is really important. It's critical in developing, would you say, the trust between child and parent, child and teacher, or whoever may be having to have this kind of discussion with your child or even your teenager.
Yeah, and it is so important that it be a dialogue back and forth for what you brought up, creating that, you're creating and continuing to foster that trusting relationship, but also for our children's understanding, because God did not create us to primarily learn through lecture. With the way that God designed us, we primarily learn through conversation, through doing, through repeating. And so if we are simply lecturing our children, there's a better than good chance that stuff is going in one ear and out the other, or it might not even be going in the ear. Where if we make it a conversation, our children are much more likely to understand what we are talking about. Also, we want to make sure that we are having an appropriate conversation. You know, if your child has, you know, like let's say a child is 11 and they first learned about sex when they were 6. Okay, so they've known about sex for 5 years now. They've probably heard multiple people talking about it. You know, they've probably had conversations about it. If we sit down with them and don't ask them any questions and just start lecturing them about sex, what have we just communicated? We have just communicated that we are completely out of it. We're completely out of touch. We don't know what's going on. We don't understand them. We don't understand the context that they and their friends are in. And so, therefore, we are going to be one of the last people that they ever come to with questions or concerns. Where if we ask questions to learn what they're already thinking, then we can make sure that whatever we're speaking to is speaking to them currently where they're at so that they understand, oh yeah, mom understands that or dad understands that. You know, this person, this parent is a good person for me to go to in the future.
Yeah, it's kind of like evangelism almost. Wow.
Similar, yes.
But, Elizabeth, this is great curriculum. You got any highlights or that you can share with us, the kind of impact this has had on a family or a church?
Yeah, so we've heard from a number of parents several things about this curriculum. First, that they were so grateful that a number of parents have said they were so grateful that they went through it even earlier than they thought they should have because of what their kids have just naturally been exposed to in culture. And saying, you know, if I hadn't had this conversation, these or gone through these conversations, I would have had to backpedal, you know, when my child had a substitute teacher who was a man who was wearing a dress, you know, or when somebody saying, you know, or when my niece, you know, announced that she was moving in with her boyfriend, or when, you know, a same-sex couple moves in across the street. The parents have just said, you know, thank you for encouraging me and equipping me to have these conversations at a younger age than I thought was necessary, because now I see why it's so necessary. Then it's something that now I wasn't too surprised by those comments because that's why we created this series. You know, we wanted to prepare children in this way. What was a little bit surprising for me is we've heard from a number of families who have thanked us and said that having these conversations at a young age with their children has made it so that they can better understand scripture. Because one mom wrote in and said, you know, there are so many passages of scripture, you know, that talk about sexuality or sex. And now, obviously, not every single passage is appropriate, you know, for, you know, I'm not going to read the story of Lot and his daughters to a 4-year-old, you know, not at all appropriate. However, understanding just so much in scripture, even like, you know, reading through the Ten Commandments, do not commit adultery. You know, if you've never had a basic sex talk with your child, you know, how are you going to explain like what adultery is? Where if you've had that conversation, you can just say to your child, well, we learned that sex is the sign and seal of the marriage covenant. So adultery is when one person decides to have sex with someone they are not married to. So they have just broken that covenant. It's a really easy way, you know, to explain that. And so that was not encouragement that I was expecting to receive, but I was like, oh, that is really encouraging that now parents are able to take their kids through more of scripture because their children understand this part of God's design as well as how humans can corrupt that design.
Yeah, so that's a great curriculum, but you've also got a whole lot more on your site there, Foundation Worldview. If people are listening, saying, man, I'd like to get a hold of that curriculum and I want to see the other things that they have, where can they go to get more information and look at your material?
Yes, if you go to foundationworldview.com, that's our website, and all of the information is there.
Yes, it's Foundation Worldview. You've been listening to our interview with Elizabeth Urbanowicz, and she's the founder and CEO of that great ministry there that we highly endorse here at Evidence and Answers, Foundation Worldview. And we've been talking about new miniseries that has come out, The Talk. And if you've got children or work with children, this is a series that you really want gonna want to get. It's gonna help equip you to have that critical talk with your children and prepare them for what's coming. Because Elizabeth, you made a good great point. Protection is not isolation, it's preparation.
Yep.
So, Elizabeth, thanks for being with us here again on Evidence and Answers.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Patrick. It's always a joy to chat with you.
Our time today has come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 483-0586. Or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.